You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
Now, being stopped on the road and asked to breathe into this bag used to be something to fear after you'd been to the pub. But now people trying to get into pubs and clubs in Weymouth may find that their breath lies on the way into them to discourage people from excessive prinking or preloading. That is the slogan, that is the jargon for drinking heavily and cheaply at home before heading out. Our reporter Dave McMullen went into central Manchester last night, spoke to three mates outside a bar and asked them if they liked to preload.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, I do pre-drink, yeah.
Why?
I like having a pre-drink because at the end of the day when I'm going out and I'm treating myself to a night out, I like to like wind down and have a little drink before I go out as well.
So it's not just about money?
Yeah, it's about money. Save so much money. And it's sociable as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot more sociable to pre-drink than not.
Well, how much would you pre-drink before a big night out? Go on, be honest.
I could do a bottle of vodka. In freshers, it was a litre. but now it's literally like half a bottle of vodka.
As opposed to what I do, I'd start drinking about half nine, just drink and drink and drink. And then go out about, I don't know, about 11.
What do you think about being breathalysed before you got into your favourite club?
I understand it to a certain extent, but I also believe that when people are going out, it's their time to like let their hair down, and I don't think they should be like, it's a bit too stressful.
I think it's up to the door staff really to call it, to make the right decision. I think that's what makes a good doorman. If they can read a person, see if they're too drunk or they're going to cause aggro, then don't let them in. But I don't think breathalysers are necessary.
With me in Salford is Claire Richter, who is indeed a doorman or door supervisor, has been for 20 years. It's a description she prefers to the name bouncer. Dr. Hannah Farramond is in Exeter. She's a sociologist from the university there and has been evaluating the use of what's called the Are You Too Drunk breathalyzer. Morning to you both.
Morning.
Claire, let's begin first of all. Why? Because it is significant, isn't it? Why do you not want to use that language of bouncers?
I think the profession has moved on. I hope the profession has moved on since the term bouncer has been the common terminology. I prefer the terminology door supervisor or door staff.
And how often do you and do the staff you employ in a security company have to deal with people who are already not just a little bit happy but blind drunk before they enter a pub or a club?
It's an incredibly regular occurrence. I'd say it's a matter of every few minutes as opposed to every few hours. It's the norm for what we're dealing with. But like the person said who's been interviewed at the bar, a good door person can spot the signs, and that can be anything from verbal to movement to just behaviour.
And a breathalyzer, does it change anything or does it just kind of make it a bit more official? Because presumably if you can spot them easily, you could easily say you're drunk, you're not coming in.
Right. I mean, it's all about conflict management. So anything that is an additional tool to the door staff to help make the person understand that their intoxication is an issue for entering the premises in order to protect the premises licence, then that's a tool that's welcomed. I'm familiar with the scheme in other areas.
Dr. Farramond, it has been used in quite a few other areas, hasn't it, before Weymouth, the trial from tonight?
Absolutely. I think the first pilot went out in Norwich and quite a few areas, including quite a lot in Devon and Cornwall and now in Dorset, have indeed rolled out the scheme and other places. I think it's also been used in university bars.
And how well does it work?
I mean, we've been evaluating the study because I think it's really important when you hear about these initiatives, you just don't want them to be a flash in the pan. You want to find out whether they really work or not. We did a pilot in Torquay about 2 years ago. For that month, we saw a 39% reduction in alcohol-related violence. So to that extent, the crime statistics really did come in favour of
that. That's a big, big drop. The reason being what? That people, once they're turned away, having been breathalysed, simply head home rather than get even drunker and getting into a fight?
Absolutely. What we did was we interviewed lots of door staff because I think it's very interesting hearing from Claire that there's been a real professionalisation of the profession. And what we found was that door staff were actually sometimes the most enthusiastic advocates of this scheme. That's because they're the ones that are on the sharp end of any kind of violence when they're refusing people entry. And they found it depersonalised it so that people are seeing numbers on a machine that's telling them that they're too drunk rather than a large person telling them that they can't come in and then the conflict that might come from that. It's not supposed to take over from their own judgment. It's entirely up to the door staff in the schemes that have been running in the southwest whether they use the breathalyzer or not.
So Claire, it's that ability, if you like, to say, look, yes, it's not me that's saying it.
Right.
It's the machine.
Which is very helpful, no doubt about it. You know, you're only going to breathalyze people that you figure are going to probably blow a positive anyway. The ones I've used that use a traffic light system, you blow a red, that's you done for the evening. You blow an amber, maybe go away, have something to eat and come back. A green, my mistake, go ahead.
And just to be clear, you can set the breathalyzer at any level you want. It's not the same as driving. In other words, it's not for a man a couple of pints of beer.
I mean, I think obviously that massive reduction in crime figures, that's interesting. It's the first time I've heard a statistic on that. But obviously, if the door staff are doing their job correctly on the front door and eliminating the high levels of intoxication entering the bar, there will be a lower level of crime within the venue.
And what sort of level are we talking about in these tests, Dr. Farriman? Is it quite a lot more than you could drink and drive?
Absolutely. The drink drive limit is 35 micrograms. And what we've done is allow each venue to set their own limit, but given them some guidance. And that guidance is usually to come in between 80 and 100. So you're talking two to three times the drink drive limit. But there's no hard and fast rule. If those door staff still feel that the person is too drunk to enter, as Claire says, they're protecting their licence there and they can still refuse them entry. But on those borderline cases, they found it very helpful.
Just in a sentence, if you could, Claire.
Yep.
We heard that man on the tape talk about a whole bottle of vodka.
Shocking.
Shocking, but common.
I think so. I mean, I'm being around the scene for quite a long time. I'm of an age where that's of no interest to me to be drinking those sort of quantities. But I'm familiar now that the vast majority will come into Freshers Week. Most of them will preload.
Yeah, it's a week for this conversation. Thank you very much indeed. Claire Richter here in Salford, Dr. Farriman in Exeter.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.